ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் பெனால்டிஸ் பிட்ஃபால்ஸ் பிரிசன் பிரசன்டட் பை
ஸ்பேஸ் ஆஷ்ரம். நவம்பர் 8th, வெல்கம் டு சைபர் ஸ்பேஸ் ஆஷ்ரம். And this very interesting topic, the drugs and the penalties invoked by law for the use of drugs. A lot of questions that you will enjoy the answers, and we are going to ask Sannyasin Aramuga Swami to recount an interview with Lieutenant Larry Rosa of the Kauai Police Department. Arumuga Swamiji, what did Larry Rosa have to say in answer to some of these questions people have been asking?
Lieutenant Larry Rosa, who's the vice squad officer with all of the adult violations in the drug realm, and we had inquired of him the penalties for drug use, the most important one of which is that if you sell drugs in any quantity to anybody for any price or even give them away, you are necessarily committing a felony. And if you commit that felony on the island of Kauai, you will definitely go to jail.
Maybe you can explain for all of our ashram visitors in our cyberspace ashram just what a felony is.
Well, felony is a serious crime as opposed to a misdemeanor. It's one that remains on your record through your entire life. If you are a convicted felon, you no longer have the right to vote. If you apply for a job, you are required to disclose this information that you have a felony conviction, especially if you want a job with the government, in which case you probably won't get it because of that conviction. Sentencing for a felony can range from a year or 2 years in jail up to 20 years in the drug realm.
This means that for a little seeming happiness, you get a lot of long-term unhappiness and a lot of privileges taken away.
One thing that Neil Wagatsuma, the warden at Kauai County Community Correctional Center, told us was that it used to be that you could get a lesser sentence for drugs if you were a more well-to-do citizen. And if you, for example, produced letters of recommendation from prominent people in the community, then you might get off easier. Well, it seems that the current judge doesn't go for that argument, and whoever you are, if you're dealing drugs, you're going to jail.
Well, our current honorable judge takes his job very seriously, and be very careful if you come to the island of Kauai, leave all these substances behind. We don't want them here. This is tough love. Because we love you, and we see God inside of each and every one of you, but we don't want your outside self incarcerated in the county of Kauai on this beautiful garden island. The county can't afford it. We want the island to be drug-free. This means we don't do this here.
Now, we asked Lieutenant Rosa what would happen if they got a tip about someone who was dealing drugs. And he said, well, the best thing that they have is what they call the buy bust, where they try to set the person up to sell them, one undercover agent, some drugs, preferably at the man's home or somewhere in his car, for example. And the reason they do that is that if they can successfully buy the drugs from the man at his home, they can then seize his home under the drug seizure laws. But what they will try to do then, after they make the arrest, is they will try to make a deal with him to get to the pusher that he got the drugs from, and so on back the line. And then, if he does do that, then he might get a lesser sentence. Otherwise, he will get the book thrown at him.
I understand, Sannyasin Aramuga Swami, that there's also another way. People are also afraid of retaliations if they report somebody, but the county has, police department has established an anonymous line. You can call in, not leave your name, and make a report. Now, we're going to get that number out of the phone book, and later on in this interview, Arumugha Swami is going to tell you what it is.
Yes, Gurudev, that's the Crime Stoppers program. It works very well. They recently caught somebody at one of the schools with $300 on them for the purpose of a drug buy, and some drugs on them also, and were able to make an arrest in that case. Now, if you are arrested, what happens to you is that you are, again, as an adult, you're handcuffed, you're searched for weapons, you're taken to the station, you're booked, fingerprinted, photographed. You may get bail if you're, depending on the crime, if you don't get bail, then you're taken over to the jail. At the jail, you are strip searched, you are given different clothes, a few amenities, and put in a cell. And within a few days, depending upon your attitude, you are either left in a cell with, that's approximately 8 by 10 or 11 feet with two other inmates, that's three, on a 23-hour-a-day lockdown. That means you're only out of the cell for one hour a day. Or you, if you are going to make a serious attempt to change your life, the warden may admit you to one of the dormitory programs where there's a very strict regimen throughout the day of training, discipline, classes, work, etc.
So you mean you can buy some of these drugs and get free room and board with two other people in a very small cell? That is not a very good investment. Let's sharpen up. Let's get smart. It's not cool to take drugs. Can be very hot.
We asked Lieutenant Rosa if there was much difference on the economic level of the people that they were arresting for drugs, and he said there's not. The poorer people are being arrested, the richer people are being arrested, they've arrested children from the best families on the island. When it comes to drugs, it doesn't seem that economic status is much of a factor. We asked him about the effect of drugs upon people, and he said that the degeneration of the drug user is very apparent. He says, I can see that these people have short attention spans, they have mood swings, they're forgetful, they just are no longer what they used to be. As he put it, I've never seen a brilliant drug user. He believes that one of the motivating factors in the drugs is that when they take that first hit off of ice, or the first hit of cocaine, they get this tremendous feeling of euphoria, and they want to get back to that feeling. But they never do. It's never the same after that. And they keep trying to take bigger doses and so on to get back to it, but they can't do it. We asked him about the price of the drugs, and he said that, well, methamphetamine, a single paper, as it's called, sells for $50. That's a tenth of a gram. That's for one hit. If you're buying a gram of it, it's $400 or $500. One of the ladies we talked to at the jail was spending $2,000 a week on methamphetamines and other drugs. To get this kind of money, according to Lieutenant Rosa, the people had to resort to burglary, to theft, anything, stealing from their parents if they were youth. Said in most cases they ended up dealing because that's the only way they could get enough money to support their own habit. To give you an idea of what that is, even heroin costs $60 for a hit. Cocaine can run $1,400 to $2,400 for an ounce. At the time we asked him this, he had just gotten the most recent price list for drugs and was reading it to us. Good marijuana costs $2,000 to $3,000 a pound, a single joint, $2 or $3.
So it appears you have to have a lot of money to be illegal and to be a criminal these days.
We asked him, Lieutenant, for his advice, and he said, well, he was actually not very optimistic about people getting off of drugs. He had seen a lot of people like it, and he didn't see a lot of people get off of it. He said, the best thing you can do is try to convince a person to get professional help. He said, it's like an alcoholic. He never saw an alcoholic admit he was an alcoholic until he had been part of Alcoholics Anonymous or a similar program. He says it's denial. They'll say, I'm just using this for recreation. They'll say that even if they're spending $700 a day on drugs. It's just for recreation. He says the family can help if they can get them to clergy, if they can get them to counseling. Sometimes, he says, the spouses will turn in their husband or their wife, usually because of there's potential for violence or real violence, or the wife is afraid that the house will be seized under the drug seizure laws. One woman recently turned in her husband after he put a shotgun to her head and threatened her. So this is what the drugs lead to. We also asked him about organized crime. It's obvious that these drugs are distributed internationally by organized crime. And he says, well, yes, you can't open up shop on the island without the blessings of organized crime, and they take about 60% of the proceeds of all of these drug sales.
Well, it's a big price to pay, even if the family treated the person badly. Many families beat their children and call it discipline. It's a big price to pay to go down the drain to a place like is being run here on Kauai. It's not a 5-star hotel, I can tell you that. And you wouldn't want to live there. So, clear out the drugs from your house. Reform your thinking about it. It's not cool. Can be very rough on your nerve system. The reaction to the action of breaking the law. You are in prison right now because if you are using illegal drugs of any kind, you're always looking over your shoulder and worrying about being caught. Admit it, it's true. So, you've imprisoned yourself in even a smaller cell. Today at Kwarinam, November 9th. Welcome everyone in cyberspace. Welcome to the cyberspace ashram on the Garden Island of Kauai. More questions are coming in. So we have interviewed Warden Neil Wagatsuma. He is the head of the KCCC, Kauai County Correctional Center. And in his own words, we'll see what Neil has to say in answer to more of these questions. There's a lot of interest out in cyberspace from many countries. Neil, let's hear what you have to say to these very fine people who are very interested in upholding the law.
We're seeing more and more cases where it doesn't matter what kind of status you have in the community, but the courts are very, very keen to the dangers of drug distribution. If you're caught selling, the chances of you getting prison or jail time is very much assured. Today, the courts realize that, you know, we have a very epidemic type of problem here, and they cannot really use double standards, so to speak. So they're becoming very, very strict as far as their sentencing. Well, our philosophy is that if you do not want to make an effort to change, then get prepared to be housed in a facility that will meet your constitutional rights but will not appease you, will not give you the type of traditional prison privileges like TV and like snacks and cigarette smoking. You know, we have options over here for inmates that want to make strides to change. And our philosophy is that we don't want the inmates to come back, because the way it is now, you know, with how society is, we find more and more people from all walks of life coming in through our back door. So we want to make sure that the ones that, you know, we house over here do not return, or we try to minimize their return, because we're prepared for the flood of new offenders, especially with this drug use and with family abuse cases also. I believe it's over 80%. I can tell you that some substance abuse, it's over 80%. Substance abuse ties in with their crime. You know, thefts, family abuse, domestic violence, assaults. You know, it really ties in with substance abuse. So we over here we see a whole lot of all different types of crimes, from murder to driving under the influence. But a lot of the crimes, criminal acts, are tied in with abuse of substances, you know, and drugs. I don't think people realize the damage, the physiological damage from these new designer drugs, you know, especially crystal methamphetamine or ICE or Batu, as they call it. There's a large portion of inmates in Halava who they consider walking zombies, because if you look at a scan of their brain, they'll show you a lot of holes that cannot close. You know, it's like, you know, people used to say, well, you know, people are chronic alcoholics, you know, they lose brain cells and stuff. But with crystal methamphetamine, the damage is so much greater and so much faster. I guess a whole bunch of reasons, you know, why they use drugs. From what we see in the prison population, you know, there's a lot of people that use drugs recreationally, they never get caught. But with our population, we see a lot of these individuals who have come from dysfunctional pasts, broken homes. You know, they've had a lot of pain, a lot of betrayal in their lives. And drugs kind of serves as like something like an anesthesia to all their problems. And, you know, a lot of them are filled with self-pity about their past. Some people, they're able to use the adversity and rise above. Many of these people, they go back to the shortcomings in their past, and they use that, continue using substances.
Okay, how do you keep your kids off drugs?
That's where the families come in. I mean, you know, we can only do so much. I mean, even outside agencies, police, counselors, school teachers can only do so much. But actually, the key is the families. I think a lot of people that kids that use drugs, you know, are those that are searching out for love. There's something missing in the family. That's why they search out, go with their friends. And I mean, you know, everyone goes through a period of rebellion and, you know, where the peer group becomes more important in the family. But, you know, in families where there is good communication, there is good understanding, there is a lot of honesty, they usually come back, and because they know what is right. But in those families where, you know, this crucial element is missing, they search out, and unfortunately, they look for love in all the wrong places.
How do kids get the money?
You know, everyone can tell you that if you have a strong drug habit, the only way that you're going to be able to feed the habit is eventually from dealing drugs. That's the only way you can feed your habit. It becomes a real vicious cycle. I mean, there's no way, because it's a very expensive habit. And, you know, people, you know, they can resort to burglarizing and thefts and whatnot, but dealing is actually the way to sustain your habit. And that's why it's so dangerous, because then everybody wants to use is dealing, and you have more and more people getting caught in this vicious cycle. Well, it's interesting, you know, with these new designer drugs, because they are so addictive, you know, in the past you'd have people who'd smoke pot once in a while and stuff, but today, you know, I mean, we see more and more people getting really caught in this web, and they're really out of control, to the point where they're willing to risk losing everything, and they end up in here, they almost hit rock bottom. I mean, you know, we see more and more people that come in here who hit rock bottom in their lives. So as far as occasional and as far as heavy use, I mean, we're seeing in this facility over here, the ones we see are the ones who are very heavy users of drugs. Yeah, they're willing to risk everything, even their families. In our Lifetime Stand is a training center. It's based on a triangle of honesty, compassion, and discipline. We utilize some Western paramilitary concepts to, you know, for order and for discipline, but we use a lot of, you know, Eastern concepts. We use a more holistic approach to helping offenders. We try to help them rely more on their conscience. We try to rechannel their passion and the power that they have, and try to have them understand where they stand in life's bigger picture. And, you know, our whole focus is this. You know, we always say that as society is breaking down, and society is breaking down as far as the moral, family stand, values and standards, you know, we can hire many more police officers, many more counselors, many more teachers, but, you know, if we don't really change the families and the heart of the families, then, you know, we can only do so much. And what we try to do with the offenders over here is, you know, help them come to understand themselves, their past, you know, their present, look at their future, so they can go back into their families and lead by example. I know this sounds controversial, so to speak, but, you know, we feel that this is an effective way of counteracting this trend of what's happening.
Neil, we want to thank you, Warden, for your statements today. We really appreciate this. And I know that you have a very unique program here on the island of Kauai, and it has been recognized worldwide. Thank you very much. Mahalo. Today at Kuarinam, November 12th, on our Vedic calendar, Sun 1, we're beginning a six-day phase. This means 6 days of service to Shiva, and we were blessed with the presence of 4 families from India who are on pilgrimage here, enjoying their inner self, as well as we had a call from Kashi Ashram. 125 Ashramites sang a beautiful song to us all, and we really enjoyed it. We're looking forward to Acharya Palani Swami, Yogi Yuganatha, and 2 of the Ashramites coming back to Kuarinam tomorrow. Well, there are still more questions flowing into our cyberspace ashram on the subject of drugs, drug abuse, drugs, the law, and you. So we're going to the heart of the matter. In our series of Drugs and the Law, we're talking to 2 ladies, Cherise Paganos and Christine Nerpio at the Kauai Community Correctional Center. They're going to tell you of their experiences in their own voice, and both are mothers, and both are in their 20s, and both have a very sad story to tell, but we hope that it won't be you, that you can learn from their experience.
Cherise, why are you an inmate here at KCCC?
I got arrested for was forgery and burglary. It was drug related. I was influenced under crystal meth and cocaine at the time.
How long have you been using drugs?
I've been using for, I would say, about eight years. Mm-hmm. And I'm 25 now. I've come close to death many times. My rock bottom was prison numerous of times. I've been back in and out of prison for dirty UAs and picking up other charges.
What is it that's made you decide to change your life?
What has really made me wake up this last time around was not only my children, but because of the fact that I was close to death with my husband and I.
What is the effect of ICE?
Crystal meth has this effect on you where, you know, you use it and you stay up for so many days and you start hallucinating. And if you're in a relationship and your spouse also is on the drugs, it affects your relationship in many ways where they start hallucinating and thinking all these crazy stuff, like you're fooling around, and things start to get dangerous, you know, especially if firearms are involved. I was put in a situation where my husband thought I was fooling around, you know, after we being up for so many days, and, you know, we both had our own guns and we were, like, at gunpoint. It was an experience I will never forget. That was my last experience that I had before I came back. I carried that memory with me wherever I go because of the fact if I do end up going back to drugs, it'll be definitely death. Right now I'm just dealing with myself and my issues that really is the core problem to drugs. Not knowing how to deal with reality, not knowing how to face the pain.
What about your children?
Children and I are working on our relationship together. Right now, being in a system has helped a lot. I find this a blessing in disguise, in other words, because it has helped me to stop and think about, you know, what do I really want out of life? And how it has given me enough time to realize and see the road that I was taking.
How did you get the drugs?
I never worked for the drugs. I always stole. But I would say I spent nearly $2,000 a week. I forged checks. I traded.
What's your advice to kids trying drugs?
It doesn't seem like it affects them right now, but in the long run, it will catch up to you. Not only you coming to jail, but in your physical. Today, I suffer from, you know, it damages your bone marrow, and it affects you, your body physically. If they have children, or if their loved ones are there to support them, you know, their family is not going to be there for them forever, you know. And right now, life is too short to be pushing them away.
How old are your children?
I have 1, 7, and 1, 5.
Who takes care of them?
My mom and my dad.
Do they know why you're here?
Yes.
You've heard Cerise Pagano speak to you from her heart, and we want to appreciate everything you had to say, Cerise. Thank you very much. Mahalo. You've been very kind to share yourself with everybody out there in cyberspace.